All right, Dieter and Hutch, we're live, and as Thomas aptly points out, this should be bleak. We will try to make it as... We can't make it positive. We'll try to make it as entertaining as possible, as lighthearted as possible. Jesus Christ. I'm worse off for having watched that tape, Jake.
It's tough. It's I actually got sad. And part of it is if it's not linked already, I'll make sure I link the playlist. I'm putting out a weekly playlist for Grinding Tape. But I had a very sort of sad one. I saw like a concert last night. It's great music, but like sort of in like a sad, almost Radiohead vein. And when you're listening to that and you watch Fred Warner snap his ankle, it makes you really sad. And again, we're not fans of the San Francisco 49ers, but Fred Warner's so good at football, and having to watch a team without him, it's just really, really brutal to watch.
This is going to be really, really bad moving forward is the only takeaway that I can give you off of the tape. We talk a lot about the Niners. This is not us. The Niners talk a lot about the Rams plan. We're on the Rams plan. And they better be, because otherwise all of this was for naught. But when they started spouting that out, around 49-49, I wrote a column, and I kind of maintained this, that actually they might be on the Cowboys plan, which is, oh, we're just going to be totally decimated at certain key areas of our roster from here on out, and hopefully our quarterback is good enough to overcome that week in, week out. Now, this is obviously, no one planned on Fred Warner and Nick Bosa going out, but this is going to look an awful lot like the Dallas Cowboys from here on out, and that is not a compliment.
Yeah, it's tough. It's so bad that what I've been doing before the show is going through and looking at who they should jettison on the roster, like who is just damning them. It's both Lukes. Both Lukes have been a disaster.
Gifford and Farrell.
And then, Kyle Juszczyk's not been good either. No. That's a factor. But it's just like, it's just exhausting to watch, man. And then Kendrick Bourne. I don't know if anyone's going to actually make them an offer for Kendrick Bourne. He was out there on the wire, and I know they talked to the commander. He talked to the commanders and made his decision. But he's
Did
been
he
producing.
Make that
so
decision, Jake, was that his decision?
I don't know. It's hard to say. It's hard to say. Correct. Which is to say that, like, I don't know that anyone's going to trade for Kendrick Bourne or really make them an offer.
No one's trading.
But
for
if
Kendrick
someone
Bourne.
Does,
oh yeah,
they
you
should
take it.
It.
Yeah,
because and that's like a seventh round pick, and I know that you could get like a comp pick and free agency or whatever. I think they'd be better off without him. Yeah. And I know that might sound insane, but the amount of mistakes that are costing them, the interception, the like lack of blocks that are like costing them chunk plays because he doesn't know what he's doing every single week is maddening.
I'm not entirely sure that it is that he doesn't know what he's doing anymore. At some of these plays, it just looks like he's like, nah, I ain't doing that. Y'all don't pay me enough for me to do that. Is kind of the vibe I got off of some of these block plays. That's on Kyle Shanahan, maybe even more than Kendrick Bourne, for continuing to use him as like a quasi insert blocker, as an edge setter.
75% of the time. It's crazy.
It's abysmal. It's abysmal. And you have to go for 140 yards and a touchdown to make up for how deficient it is. I went in pretty hard on Christian McCaffrey. I do need to pull back a little bit on that on the third watch of this thing, which is all I'm doing. You can't make me watch this a fourth time.
Right.
He still has some scoot. It is less than it was, but it is not. Watching it from the end zone angles, you're like, oh, okay. I was being harsh. So mea culpa on that. Apologies to Christian McCaffrey. Again, not implying that it's 23 McCaffrey, MVP level McCaffrey, but it's not like entirely his fault. This run game has so many problems. I don't even know which one you start with, if you can even start with any of them. Some of these seem like systemic. Like this run game is so bad. I don't know how it could possibly be fixed. Do you have any thoughts?
No, I really quickly want to get to Tony's question of is Bourne trying and whiffing, or is he not trying to block? A lot of the time he like it's like I watched a snap where he literally, he's looking left to block and then realizes, oh, I'm supposed to block the guy to the right. Doesn't realize what his assignment is. And then there's other times like he just completely whiffs. And it's asking tight ends or Kyle Juszczyk to clean up after him when they're supposed to be getting somebody further up the field. Yeah. Yeah. No, that's what it is. He looks like, oh, I missed him. But then it's like, it means Juice or another tight end has to clean up what he's doing. They have to double team somebody with him that they're not supposed to. They're really supposed to get upfield, but they're like, all right, well, I could make this a 4-yard run or a negative 4-yard run, or just hope I get upfield and McCaffrey breaks it. It's not going to happen. No, it's like when the O-line is right, there's Bourne is messing something up or someone else is, or Juwan Jennings is killing somebody because he needs to, you know, there's so many things that are wrong on every single play. It's never one thing. It's never the same thing, but for everything to line up perfectly and you watch other teams, like you're watching Tristan Wirfs just destroy people and Kate Otten get through a hole and pump. And you're like, Michael Williams is like trying and getting double teamed. And then it's like Luke Gifford's falling over his own feet. And I'm not trying to just be incredibly
up. It's factual. And, you know, Jam is going to say the same thing every motherfucker has been saying nonstop for the last 5 fucking years. And we get it.
All right.
But no, but like, seriously, they didn't even try to make it. Like, I don't care anymore. You're right. They didn't try. It was their intent to not try. By the way, where else on the roster were they trying to get better? They tried in one spot, tight end. That's turned into a pile of shit with Luke Farrell. That's the only other spot they spent money. They tried to get better on special teams, you can argue. How's that going for them? Like, no, they didn't try.
I mean, kind of, yeah.
We can all agree that they need to. Special teams
is kind of going well.
Not really. Like, we can all agree that now that is no longer a viable option. But this whole, like, I told you this was going to happen is bullshit. It's bullshit. Because when Connor Colby and Dominic Pooney are healthy, this offensive line could be fine. But they're not, and they don't have anybody to replace them.
And Trent.
And then you know that McKivitz isn't like Trent Williams in his prime, so you're going to get plays there. And you keep Brendel in there. And that every spot along that line, you can make the argument, oh, well, it should have been better. Of course it should have been better, because they suck right now. Of course, you should have done that.
I went through the entire roster and identified, by the way, I just identified players who were injured, players who were playing through injury, guys who were non-factors, all of that, nightmares, and just who's actually playing well. Like, who's actually, you can confidently say, is playing well. And I came up with, I think, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. 7 players, not including special teams. Maybe
Sesame 8. Street episode over here.
Maybe with 7. Alfred Collins at 8.
I think the Alfred Collins stuff aggressive in the moment. He's gotten way better.
I think he's still in the inconsistent bucket. But like, I've got like 8 players playing well for them. And
who are
Mac
alive?
Jones, McCaffrey, McKivitz, Michael Williams, Bryce Huff, Sam O, who I think has been good, but like is very close to the inconsistent category. D Winters, and that's it. And then it's just the special teams unit. I don't have anyone in the secondary. They're all inconsistent in the secondary.
All 3 of their specialists are killing it. Morsed's great.
Great. And yet they don't really have a good special teams.
No, they don't.
Operation, which is incredible.
Eddie and all that. We're talking about players from scrimmage, Wood Gravy. Only players from scrimmage.
Yeah, Eddie's all on the list, believe me.
There's a lot of things that need to fundamentally change with this offense. And I do wonder how much changes if Brock is in fact back. What are you thinking on that front, by the way? Like, they're saying he's going to practice more this week. Is that enough to put him in there?
I think there's one more week of Mac and then it's back to Brock.
Yeah.
I think that's how it goes.
Hey Brock, why don't you enjoy Will Anderson coming down your fucking face.
You don't
have a choice.
I mean, you might, you do have a choice, and you might just say, all right, well, if we're going to die, let it be Mac. Maybe 2 more weeks. Maybe you wait this weekend and the next one and play it extra safe. I wouldn't hate that.
You mean at the Giants?
Oof. I mean, there's no, yeah.
Then the Rams, then the Cardinals. Hey, Carolina, week 12. Can we circle that one?
Yeah, yeah, but it's not about that. I'm talking about from a health perspective.
No, I get it.
Houston's a tough task to come back against. I think the Giants, you just say, all right, whatever with the turf. People got to play football. I think Kittle coming back is going to be pretty huge for them.
Well, if they can't run the ball with Kittle back, they can't run the ball. Because there is part of me that in the back of my head's like, I don't know, maybe George comes back and all of this is fixed. Like, it doesn't seem realistic, but it is a possibility.
Yeah. Yeah. Farrell's really bad. I'm just watching it. It's bad. They need Kittle back desperately. And Ton just tries, but he's in the Ross Dwelly mode. He physically can't do it right now with the way he's built.
Well, and there is a world, you know, a lot of folks Thursday, and I think you and I talked about this. I think it was a fair thought of what do they do with Tonjes once Kittle comes back, because
play him at fullback.
That's where my head's at, because you mentioned it earlier, like Juice. It's Jover.
There's something to be said for like putting Juice like at tight end, like tight end.
I kind of like
and Tonjes at fullback.
Literally, Tonjes on the move.
Building up a set of, head of steam.
He actually can deliver some blocks. I think he makes the right decisions on blocks. I think Juice, you know, there's a couple of plays. They were in I formation a lot in this game. They ran a lot of gap stuff in this game. They were trying to get back to basics. Like, how about I just say it? Fundamentals. I don't know who the commenter was who complained about us saying fundamentals too much, but for you, getting back to the fundamental tenets of football. Right. They're one step away from trying the wing T and going full Don Farrow. But when we doing that, and they still couldn't run the ball. They still couldn't run the ball. And Vita Vea had a lot to do with it. And when Vita Vea was off the field, they did actually run the ball. But it wasn't like great. It was like 4 yards a carry as opposed to two.
By the way, their whole game plan was like rightly to like double team Vita Vea. But a couple times, they just got one-on-ones. And Vita Vea won like almost every single one of those one-on-ones. And it was like Godzilla running through somebody. And it's not even to rip on any of their offensive linemen, because Vita Vea, there's nothing like Vita Vea. He's just a one-of-one player. I guess Vince Wilfork is like a similar vein, but like really they're individual
Vince
players.
Vince didn't have that kind of explosion. Vince was just there.
Yeah.
Vince was a wall. There are a few. Ndamukong Suh is the only player, because like who had that sort of size. Because even like Aaron Donald was a one of one, right? But he was also like a strangely shaped defensive tackle. It's why he didn't go.
Right,
he went ninth. I don't know where he went in the draft.
Shaped like Sebastian Valdez.
Right. Well, yes, I'm sure Sebastian Valdez loves that comparison as well. He should. Right. But like Ndamukong Suh, when he was at the peak of his powers, which was a lot shorter of a window than I looking back on it now, unstoppable and huge, like 6'3", 6'4", 330, muscle, fat, it didn't matter. He was operating with some sort of different, he was an alien, and you could triple team him and he would just throw you out of the way. That was Vita Vea. And Vita Vea, here's how well Vita Vea played in that game, which was to be expected. He runs into Thomas Morstead. I'm surprised Morstead's leg didn't go into the 10th row. And he's just laughing about it because he knows it doesn't matter. You know?
Yeah.
Like, I know he's a pretty lighthearted dude in general, the pride of Milpitas, but like, he commits at the time kind of a critical penalty in the game.
Right.
And he's just like, oh, shucks. Guess you're going to have to run it into me three more times.
Warren Sapp is a good point. From people.
Ooh, Warren Sapp's a good one too.
Warren Sapp's a great shout.
Once they got Warren Sapp into a one gap system in that Tampa 2, it was game over. It was game over with Warren Sapp.
Also,
there's been a lot of great defensive tackles. Vita Vea is one of them.
Yeah, he's incredible. I mean, there's no, I won't blame any of their offensive linemen for getting cooked, because literally every single interior offensive lineman that faced him got almost thrown on their rear by Vita Vea at least once in this game. I'm going to take this question from Chuck real quick. Okay. Who takes on more of a leadership role with Warner's absence? Lenore talks about it. But is he the one? No, he's not at all.
He's not the one.
I mean, Lenore had one. He had one like real coverage bus, and people were looking around, and he just sort of stood there quietly. By the way, it's hard to tell like who's busting on coverage because it's happening so often, and it's going to keep happening, and it's going to be a problem for the rest of the year because it's a young secondary. And I texted you. I think they should just. I know this is not how defense works.
I know exactly.
But I think Renardo Green should only be playing man to man, and just say you play man to man. Everything else will get figured out. I know that's not an actual logical, reasonable way to play defense, but I think there's an element of simplifying stuff that I think would benefit them.
I disagree that simplifying would benefit. It would maybe benefit Renardo Green.
In the short term, I don't think they should actually do that. But I think in terms of like long term, I think they need to be playing complex coverages to set themselves up for long term success. But I do think they're struggling to communicate a lot of it.
Well, they're unquestionably going to be playing a lot of man-to-man anyway, because they're going to have to be blitzing. And this team has shown itself incapable of running zone behind a blitz. And most teams, very few teams, can run an effective zone behind a blitz. So they're going to be playing man anyway. They're already doing a lot of cover six, cover nine, cover seven stuff. I don't even know what cover eight is. It exists. What is cover eight, Jake?
Yeah, they're all, I don't know, man. It's too much.
Well, they're doing half and half, quarter, half, all that jazz, where it is Green man to man. Are you saying just turn him into a traveler?
Yeah. Just let him follow whoever it is.
Well, that is going to be a really fun conversation when you say, Renardo, you're a traveler now, and Diamador right. Lenore, not you,
right.
Not you, sir. So we'll something to keep an eye on, but when you don't have a pass rush, when Fred was out of there, the middle of the field was just for the taking. I mean, how much fun did Baker Mayfield have with those dig routes?
Dude, it feels like every dig route, they just bust in coverage, and it's either like, there's one where Bethune just like bit. Baker's really good at giving like a shoulder fake where he doesn't
That's
have
what
to
we
do
talked
a full
about
pump.
In the pregame. He's always back there. He's shaking it. He's Saturday Night Fever.
Yeah. And so he bit on one underneath, and then it's like 36 yard play behind it because Bethune isn't have enough depth. And then there's others where it's just like, oh, some one guy is playing man coverage, or two guys are taking the same player. And then what do you know? Someone else is wide open. It's just, yeah, there's just like so many mistakes on both sides of the ball that it's like the worst vibes for like a 4-2, 3-0 in the division team. It's so weird that they're 4-2 and 3-0 in the division.
Philadelphia's got worse.
Yeah,
that's
true.
We're going down together. Like the old guard is going to die on the same stake, man, because they can't run the ball either. They got quarterback nonsense happening there. You know, obviously, the 49ers social media wide receiver diva stuff kind of pales in comparison because it's not real. That was fun. That was a fun story this week. At least AJ Brown is posting the things or doing the things that he's alleged to have done. and then, the bigger issue that I have is, yes, they're 3-0 in the division. This division is still tough. The schedule provides very little solace.
It's not easy. Like, yeah, it's tough down the stretch. Every team is like unpredictable and at the very least, not like an easy win, except, you know, maybe the Panthers.
Maybe the Panthers, maybe the Browns. But that's
maybe
kind
the
of
a, not the Browns.
One of
the Browns.
Maybe the Titans. The Titans, who's their McCoy is their interim guy.
Yeah. Yeah. I think you're right.
All I saw was someone sent me because people have heard tell of my hatred of Brian Callahan. So I was getting a lot of texts about that going down. And after we got off the air yesterday, and I just got one today of the interim coach. And I think it's Mike McCoy being like, I want to tell all Titans fans, we're going to fart. And then they cut off the video, but he had some sort of brain fart. He said, fart, we're going to fart. That's what he said.
Is that so what he said?
Yeah, that's what he said. And then he caught himself, and I'm sure he said something afterwards, but the video was edited to say, we're going to fart. But in this age of Sora, who's to know what he actually said?
Right.
By the way, please don't use AI on us. I will criminally prosecute. Yeah. Listen, Atlanta this upcoming week is, that's just a wild game. It's just an,
you
absolute...
could run Atlanta out of the building, or you could get bludgeoned. I just also think Atlanta has too many dynamic pieces that,
whoo,
it's,
you don't think they're going to run a dig route? Zach Robinson's got nothing to lose. He's got his next job lined up, baby. He's going to be running some dig routes. They're trying some stuff over there now. They might even run gap once or twice. Zach Robinson doesn't give a fuck anymore. It's awesome. They look good against a Buffalo defense that was just asking to get exposed last night. Though short week, cross-country, night game. College, I would always say, if you the visiting team night games, danger zone, because you're just sitting in that hotel all day. NFL, they might like it. NFL, that does not really apply, but, you know, I can reverse engineer it.
Yeah, I don't. I just, I wouldn't love the prospect of Bijan Robinson and Drake London and even Kyle
Pitts. I don't
like
the prospect of Tyler Algier. Just Tyler Algier scares the shit out of me for this defense right now.
They've got some dudes.
Let's just go brick by brick here. Pardon the pun. Okay, then 49ers can't. Yeah, I didn't mean to either. It's flowing naturally. I'm in a weird spot. The 49ers secondary can't stop the pass. Is that a fair assessment right now?
I think they can when they communicate effectively, but they don't communicate effectively every play. They can on certain series, but if you get into a longer series, they're going to have a coverage bust or two.
Okay, so I'm going to go with a no on that one. I don't think it's encouraging that they're just like, let's figure out what we're doing at safety on a snap-by-snap basis either. That's not encouraging. If that's destiny, you're just shuffling the cards.
They're trying to ease Mustafa back in, but it's like, let's make a decision here.
Mustafa was good, but it's hilarious to me that they're like, oh, we're going to try out Jair and Siegel and Pinnick, and just see which one of those guys can play with Mustafa.
Well, they didn't. They didn't give Pinnick a chance.
No, I know, but I think
they were supposed to.
When they weren't on the Instagram beat, someone in NBC Sports Bay Area was suggesting that Pinnick is going to get a shot this week. I think it was Mayoko.
Kyle said they wanted to get him in, so just rotate all of them, and we'll see.
Like, how is that a good option for now or for later?
No.
In what planet is Jason Pinnick coming back to your team? You've already determined that he's not good enough to play against the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. So what's the point of putting him back in there? Okay, Jair Brown, fine. You want to give him a couple more runs, go to town. But get Mustafa and Siegel back there and see if that can be your pairing.
I agree. I think you should do that. You should just put Jair in that big nickel role, because that's been working for him. And I know he's quote unquote earned safety reps, but he's been good there. I don't think Gifford should really be on the field. I think when you're going to play Sam, just play Jair Brown there.
I'm not against it. A lot of teams are doing that.
Or trying to Martin be a guy who just, if it's like Gifford's not doing it. So try the kids at this point.
That's where I'm at. Isn't that the Rams' plan? Wasn't that what we were talking about coming into the season? This is what Robert Saleh was telling. Buckle up. It's going to be a roller coaster. Put the kids out there, trial by fire, because you need to find out now or never if they can do it or not. And by November, December, you should really have a good idea. It's not encouraging that Martin hasn't played. I think you and I both know why he hasn't. There's no excuse not to play him now, especially when you need to.
He has to be active just on a numbers basis.
I mean, he doesn't have to be. They could find a way.
It's true.
If he's not active on Sunday, well, that would have been a good pick. Though I will say, I'm turning the corner on Stout a little bit.
Played a lot better. He played a lot better.
Yeah, that was a good game from Stout.
Again, I've never been anti-Stout. I just think between the two, I would have rather had Parrish than somebody else.
And yeah, I didn't. The Stout, he got maybe more flack than he deserved because he was the only rookie who seemed to be acting like a rookie for a couple of weeks.
Right.
And so it was just glaring. But now that kind of everybody, including veterans, look like rookies, he's been pretty solid. So, Stout's been a win. Green's been a win. I don't know what you do with Lenore. I would like to have him back on the inside, but you can't move Stout off of that. And then I mean, the linebacker situation is going to be rough because Bethune is a nice, serviceable gap filler, someone who will hit your run fits. But him moving in any other direction, I mean, they really are on the Rams plan. They just have two linebackers who you don't want going backwards at all.
Yeah, it's something where it's like, you said it a nauseating number of times about the stars and scrubs thing, but we're at a point where you look at the defense and you're like, how is that supposed to work? Like, how are these pieces supposed to get it done? I mean, yeah, I would be looking at like jettisoning, like look to trade. And these are guys that like no one's going to really offer anything for, but like, see if you can get anything for Bourne, for Jordan Elliott, just like even on these position groups that like don't have any depth. I just think there's like something to getting the guys that are going to be part of this thing, meaningful reps going forward. And maybe that'll work itself out naturally, but I don't know.
It typically does. Life finds a way, but they're in such a peculiar spot. They're 4-2. They're, I think, -290 to make the playoffs in the sports books. They're favored against Atlanta, and yet it feels like it's a rebuild. I mean, it's the best case scenario, kind of, if you were to remove yourself from this and not have to live in the day-to-day. You'd be like, God damn, Niners got something cooking here. But we also were in a situation where I was talking myself into the Niners in 2025 as something that was formidable. And then every time you get close to being like, yeah, I kind of think it might be on, something horrible happens. It was like that before Arizona. And you're like, I don't know, man, maybe something. And then Bosa goes down. And then you're like, okay, let's take a lump off the top. And then Fred goes down. And you're like, okay, I mean, make the playoffs, enjoy a trip to Green Bay. I mean, let's go from there. And I think at the end, we'll view this as a very positive experience. And the Niners will go to the podium and laugh at us and say, you fools, we were never going to make it.
Right.
But it does feel like a little bit of a bait and switch. No.
Yeah. It feels like, oh, we got a chance. We're taking these calls seriously. And now it's like, well, you know, it's never really the goal to compete this year. And the way that they acquired backups or didn't acquire backups, I think told you all you needed to know. Right. GW says, I can't see the interior. Oh, I'll get destroyed anymore. No. Is there anyone available in free agency that can help? Not midseason.
Nope.
If you're asking about next year, that's a different question. I mean, do you want to take like a chance? Elijah Vera Tucker, who's perpetually season ending injury guy, but like has its upside. Do you want to get like, was it Linderbaum from the Ravens? I don't know. I don't think they're a team that's ever going to really do that in free agency.
This team told you everything that you needed to know about the state of offensive line play in the NFL in 2025 when they brought 10 dudes onto the 53-man roster. And they couldn't even make a call. I'm going to just throw this out here. I've seen a lot of this bring back Feliciano. It isn't happening. I could go on, but I don't want to be mean.
No, you should. Let's move on.
So it is... offensive line play is as bad as it's ever been. I mean, who has a good offensive line right now, Jake?
The Colts, right?
Can you feel good about the Colts? Can you name one other offensive lineman on the Colts? You should actually.
Don't they have? Don't they have a German guy?
You have to name him. Also, he's Austrian.
Kellen Dietsch.
No, I don't know who that is.
I'm a messed up. You're making me hallucinate right now.
Okay, you have Quentin Nelson. Who is their center, Jake? I'm giving this to you. You know it. It's in your soul.
I don't know it off the top.
Tanner Bordellini.
Oh, I knew. Sorry, you made me panic. It's like when people are on a game show and then they just stop thinking entirely and they're like, can't name a thing. Yeah, Tanner Bordellini, my guy.
I'm just saying. And by the way, he's been fine.
Bernhard Reimann is who I was thinking of.
You weren't even close, and he's Austrian. So
Dietrich, Bernhard, come on. It's in the same vein. Let's move on.
Jake, Sebastian, same thing. I'm just saying, offensive line play, people go, oh, who has good offensive lines? Well, the Eagles, except their offensive line is dog shit right now. it doesn't matter. If guys get injured, there is no level of replacement right. At the NFL level, because a lot of teams are running out dudes who should not be starting at the NFL because they have no better option.
Charlie Heck. For the Bucks, Bucks went on to their third right guard.
Luckily, they have Tristan Wirfs and Graham Barton, who are two very, very good players, like elite-level players.
I do think there's an element of, like, they love getting the skill position players, and I get that. But there's an element of, like, you need to invest in some real, actual athleticism on your offensive line, because the peak athlete is Trent Williams. Colby's athletic. We don't know, like, what he is. I feel fine about Pooney, but, like, Brendel's only going to get older. McKivitz is, like, fine. Aren't but, like, you need something that elevates it and is going to compensate. Even if Trent plays another 2 years and is fine, like, you need something that elevates your offensive line and gives you a punch at the point of attack.
You need two elite offensive linemen. One can't get it done anymore because every defensive line now has two elite players on it if they know how to build a roster. And I think that the Niners went into this season with the expectation that Dominic Pooney was going to step up and become maybe not an elite level play, but like good enough to where like, hey, we got it. And they really thought highly of Barch. So when Trent falls down and Pooney's been awful, and I feel bad for the guy because it's not his fault, but he's still out there. He has to make the pass.
Yeah.
All you need to know about what's going on with Pooney is that false start. This is a guy who knows that his legs are so shot under him that he has to cheat to be able to win, and he jumped on the snap, and he's slamming the field. Yeah. He's just dying.
Yeah, I mean, Devin's theory is that he played all season without a PCL. I mean, his knees, he's clearly injured, and it's one of those things where it's like, you just forget about these things because you'll be on the injury report, and then they just come off the injury report despite like Trent and him both having knee issues and Colby having a groin thing. And you're like, is that still bothering you? And they're like, oh yeah, I'm in pain.
But it's just not worth bringing it up. I mean, Benali's right. The only team that has the best offensive line in football right now is the Broncos. That's the only one.
Speaking of which, it reminds me when I saw Mike McGlinchey warming up in Seattle and he winced and couldn't like breathe. And I talked to him the next day. He's like, oh yeah, I've been playing with broken ribs. And it's like, that's not on the injury report. Like that just like it, that sort of stuff doesn't pop up unless players tell you. I mean, the NFL's so brutal, but like for offensive linemen trying to play with like actual knee injuries, and those are the two guys you count on, it's really tough.
Well, it kind of turns into the end of the season with offensive linemen kind of turns into the NHL playoffs. And it's like, oh, yeah, I have five broken metatarsals. And you're like, Jesus Christ, you were skating? It's like, yeah, I just smoked four cigarettes before every shift. And that's how we got through.
Right.
Don't tell my wife. I want to go fishing or something. The idea that Pooney wasn't supposed to be a starter is a falsehood, but Colby wasn't supposed to be. And to be fair, Colby was fantastic in his first game. Then he got injured. And now, again, if you don't have that footing, if the feet goes, it all goes, big man, is what Bill Walton once told me.
And he's still like coming in as a pretty unpolished guy. So
right,
yeah.
By the way, we should have gotten Drew Dahlman. Like to be fair, Drew Dahlman has not been very good for the Bears. He just hasn't. There's been a lot of regret out of Chicago about that signing. I just think that there's this fanciful notion that there are good offensive linemen everywhere. And I do want to highlight this point one more time. People keep saying they need a Trent Williams replacement. Where was this energy for Fred Warner or, I guess Nick Bosa? Maybe they got one in Mikel, though they drafted Mikel with the
But Trent's older. Trent's old. Like, that's a different thing.
I don't disagree with that, but like the idea that you can just have someone waiting in the wings who's going to take over for Trent Williams has always been ridiculous to me. And I think that if they were in a better cash situation, Jalen Moore would have stayed around because they might have matched that offer. Understanding, hey, we got one more year of McKivitz. Let's just have Jalen maybe be the right tackle after McKivitz leaves, or we can figure it out from there. Because we're in a spot. I'm not saying that would have happened. I'm just saying it could have happened.
Right.
But it was an impossibility with the cap constraint, not the cap constraints, the cash constraints that were put on them by ownership. And so if this team was spending like it used to, Maybe they would have invested more in the offensive line. Maybe they would have gone out there and thrown a little bit more money around. But instead, they had to be very judicious about where they did it, and they decided that the only places they were going to do it at were backup quarterback, good decision, and backup tight end, good decision, bad result, and special teams. Jury's out. Let's just leave it at that. Has Saran Neal made a play this year? Just one?
I'm not sure. One. I'm not sure. It's tough because like they don't really, they only want to invest in like the middle tier guys, which they could probably, it's probably not a bad way to build offensive line. But now that market's all weird where like Aaron Banks is getting 20 a year. Somebody I was going to mention. Yeah, they worked out Andre Dillard, Leon. Thanks, Leon.
Fine. Thank you, Leon Sandcastle.
If you wanted it, that's not going to help you at guard, but.
Yes, it is not going to help you at guard. I also note that the Niners are a victim of their own success here in the sense that a lot of teams around the NFL have incompetent offensive line coaches. And you should see some of the like guys who haven't coached in the league before getting called up from college.
Yeah.
Guys who are Nepo babies. It's a position that should be probably third on your depth chart. head coach, above all. Offensive coordinator, defensive coordinator. I would say offensive line coach should be third behind that in this order of succession. But some teams treat it like it's a tight ends coach, which is famous in college for being just the recruiter. So
very good point from Benali. The O-line like wasn't built for a pass-heavy team. I don't think any O-line is really built to be a pass-heavy offense. Like when you're dropping back that much and you're not going on the offensive.
I would say Green Bay and Dallas are built for it. They have Maulers, though. But, that's their identity.
Right. But it's like most, the 49ers identity has always been going forward, get stuff going on the ground. You're running people into a pulp and then everything's easier. They can't do that because Trent's still good. Like someone mentioned that like he can't run behind Trent. And that's not true. Trent's still been great.
Yeah.
I think Colby is really inconsistent, but like is mostly good in the run game. But then there's like, you know, teams are really congesting lanes in such a consistent way that there's a lot of tough assignments and the right side of the offensive line is struggling to handle those. And even when they do, like we talked about it, like Kendrick Bourne and Luke Farrell and Kyle Juszczyk, someone's always cleaning up someone else's mess or they're both making a mess together. And it's just like, there are too many things to count to say that there's one issue. Do you want to take this one, Dieter? Is Hennessy worse than Brendel?
Yes. It's not even particularly close.
Yeah.
Hennessy was an affront to offensive line play in the preseason. The fact that you're right, they should cut him, GW. They should cut him. The only reason they didn't is because they know that there's not really any options available on the street to bring in and, you know, be able to line up in field goal block formation.
Agreed. Let me take this real quick. Trent may be a B minus in a league of D grades right now. Yeah, Trent's at least a B, which is like, but the problem is two or three times a game, he's getting destroyed in a way he never did before.
Susceptible to power. For the first time ever.
It's really susceptible to power in a way that's shows me his knee is making it hard for him to anchor and he's trying to compensate with a little too much forward lean. So he trips a little bit. But he's still like objectively good. Like he's, but when you're up at like clearly like the best tackle in the league and you go to like human, it's very jarring to watch.
Yeah. And again, they're still running a scheme in which he's put on an island. And when you could get away with doing that repeatedly because Trent's worst rep still won you the rep. Now that rep is being lost, that's two or three plays a game that are blown up because he's not winning at 100% rate like he used to. And in a game where every contest is going to be fine margins, two or three plays, particularly on like third downs and stuff, like that's humongous in the course of a game.
Yeah. And there's a lot of stunts getting run that like it, what happens is like a guard gets pushed back 2 feet or 2 yards. And then it's like, there's no way to pass it off because the depths are all messed up. So you've got a lot of plays where there's like a left tackle and in the center are like turning around to try and help the guard who's gotten beaten, and then there's a loop around, and you're like, God, it's exhausting to watch.
This team couldn't handle a stunt to save its life, and if any defensive coordinator knows what to do, if they have an ounce of competency to them, they would stunt the bejesus out of this team until something changes. And I can't imagine what that is. It's one thing to play, you know, tight fronts and wide fronts. And I'm kind of over this idea of the too high safety. It's like, oh, it takes away the big run. You guys don't even get medium runs. What the hell? Big runs are being taken away. So the idea that, it's wider, it's tougher, it requires more outside guys to win their reps the way that like a Cooper Kupp does in Seattle now, the way that Puka does, or even Devontae Adams do in L.A., the way Amon-Ra St. Brown does in Detroit. Like, it puts it on them. And Brandon Ayuk was great at this, right? You didn't notice it very much, but the entire run game was put on him in a lot of ways if you went to that wide front. Okay, well, that's obviously not helping when you have Kendrick Bourne, and I think MVS is trying. I think they need
more of DeMarcus Robinson, I think. I don't know. It's interesting that he's not been that involved yet. I do think his level of like size and physicality is going to be important going forward.
It is.
If they want to do anything.
I think that's just an issue of they want to play Bourne at X. And I think they want to play D-Rob at X, which is kind of ironic because they played him at Z almost exclusively in camp. But it does feel like they're picking Bourne over him. I don't know how often they're on the field at the same time. I haven't even thought.
Yeah, not a lot. It didn't look like a lot. It didn't look like Robinson had a ton of snaps.
No, but when he was in there, he got the ball because he was the Kendrick Bourne proxy in that position, which is a sad sentence to say out loud. I don't know. What else do we need to get to? I mean, the coverage bus touched.
It's tough to to make anything positive out of this.
I mean, it is. Jake, I'm putting you in charge. You've 1 day to make one move. Yep. What move are you making with this team?
I would trade Kendrick Bourne for a defensive end with 2 years left on the contract.
Okay. So how about a realistic option that's available to you?
No, that's what I'm doing. I would also, I'm adding like a sixth round pick. You get Bourne, I'll take your, maybe it's for like Thibodeau, right? I'll trade Kendrick Bourne to the Giants and take Kayvon Thibodeau at a fourth round pick.
Right, you've lost the plot, my friend. You've lost the plot.
Listen.
Absolutely lost the plot. You've been Larry turning my brain. That's what's happened here. You've been Larry pilled, and we're supposed to be the antidote to being Larry pilled here.
Well, there's no move that's going to fix this team. Is the short answer?
How can you make it better? How can you make it better? What is something that you see that you think can make it better?
There's a lot of ways you could make it better. Give me one. Got to get rid of Bourne. You have to get him off the field. Okay. I genuinely think that's an answer for this team.
Over Mac Jones's dead, doughy body.
That's what I mean. I think you get at least one more week and you have Bourne on the field where they have that connection. You see how that goes. And then it's back to Pearsall and you get Robinson on the field more. I just think he's making too many mistakes that you can't function in the run game. And I think you honestly have to prioritize the run game as like we need to be able to run the ball for four yards a carry. That should be your problem.
I'm with you on that.
Especially against a team like Atlanta where it's like, let's slow them down in advance like you did against the Rams.
I would cut Juice and put Tonjes as the full-time fullback. That's what I would do.
I wouldn't cut Juice, but I would throw him at tight end more and see what happens there.
Are you saying just straight up? Just straight up?
Straight up, put him at tight end and swap positions.
All right. sorry, my daughter's daycare is calling right now.
Class.
All right, let's go through. Did we get all the super chats?
I think we did.
Okay. Let's call it. We'll talk on Thursday. We'll break down.
We'll talk on Thursday. We'll preview this Atlanta game. and de-soup our brains with some interesting analysis.
Kendrick Bourne for Trey Hendrickson. Let's do that. We'll figure out a way by Thursday. Bye.
See you, folks.